When I was a student at Tarangira High School, some years ago now, about 15 or 16, we had a friend, another friend of mine, and I had a friend who was at boarding school in Timaru, and he hated it there. Nothing against Timaru, if anyone's from Timaru, he just really didn't like Timaru boys. We used to make him recordings on a portable tape recorder to kind of try and cheer him up a little bit like a letter. But we'd go around with this portable tape recorder, cassette tape, and we'd record us talking about what's happening at school and talking to other people at school, and particularly talking to some of the girls and things for some reason. We'd make these tapes, and then when we filled the tape up, both sides of it, we'd send it to them like a letter. Now, one night I had the tape, and I listened back to what I'd recorded during that day. And when I heard it, I was shocked. I'd not really heard myself in regular conversation before, but when I heard what came out of my mouth, it really unnerved me. There was the language, for a start, F words and other stuff every second word, but it wasn't just that. I knew that I swore, but I didn't know I sounded like that. I didn't know I sounded so foul and kind of bitter and dark, and I realized that it showed something of what I was really like inside. What was coming out of me, without me even realizing, was showing that there was more darkness and anger and ugliness inside this apparently relatively well-adjusted young man that I thought I was and other people tended to think I was. It was uncomfortable, but it was very revealing. I've had a similar, though not quite as unsettling experience when I've seen video of myself. And notice how much I itch and fidget. You probably already know that, sorry. But until I see an uncomfortable video like that, until I look at myself, I don't know. And until I hear myself speak in the same way, I don't know what I sound like. So both of those experiences, the recording of my voice and the video, they're uncomfortable, but they're good to show the reality of what's really going on and to be motivated to do something about it. Well, we're nearly at the end of our series within a series here on Sundays. We've got this wider focus throughout a fair bit of the year on Luke's gospel, but we've been going slowly in the last little while through the Sermon on the Plain for about the last month. And this is a piece of Jesus' teaching in which he turns life upside down in an incredibly challenging way. And our passage, which is page 837 of the Church Bibles, it's the getting towards the end of chapter 6. It's the second last passage that we're looking at in the Sermon on the Plain. Trent's going to preach the last one next week. This passage that we're looking at today is very small, but it is very powerful. And in it, Jesus uses a picture to make an important point. And that point has a particular emphasis, a particular point within it. So that's what we're going to look at in those three steps: the picture, the point, the particular point. And then we're going to dig a bit more deeply into what it means for our lives. There's an outline on the back of the welcome sheets if you want to take notes. So first, let's look at the picture that Jesus paints for us here. Have a look at verse 43 with me. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Here we see two kinds of tree, a good and a bad. And the word for bad there is literally something like rotten. Now, the point that it makes is that you don't get good fruit from a bad or rotten tree, and you don't get bad or rotten fruit from a good tree. It's a simple point, really. And Jesus sums it up in a way in the start of verse 44. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. Now, that's so helpful for me because I have no idea about trees. In fact, pretty much any word with culture at the end of it, horticulture, viticulture, agriculture, I've got no idea. I'm sure Rangiora High School was very ashamed of me at that point. But I do. I've got no idea. So I can look at a tree, I can look at its leaves and its shape and whatever else there is about trees, but I have no idea what it is. However, if I see peaches on a tree, then even I know that it's a peach tree. If I see lemons on the tree, even I know that it's a lemon tree or lemon bush or something like that. See, even I know if it's producing peaches, it's not a thorn bush. Trees produce fruit in keeping with what kind of tree they are. That's why, as Jesus says, good trees produce good fruit and bad trees produce bad fruit. And that's why you can't expect good fruit from a bad tree and vice versa. And to ram it home, Jesus uses an illustration of his own, verse 44, the end of it. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. See, if someone's walking along and they spy a thorn bush on the side of the road or a briar, which is a kind of bramble bush, and they're feeling peckish, and they go over and they're hoping to get a juicy fig or a fine bunch of grapes, they're going to be bitterly disappointed. All they're going to get is a pricked finger. You just don't get figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars, because trees and bushes produce fruit in keeping with the kind of tree they are. It's silly to think that you get fruit that's not in keeping with the tree. Now, Jesus isn't giving us an interesting lesson on Mediterranean horticulture here. He's painting a picture to make a point. And here it is, the start of verse 45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Just like a tree brings forth fruit in keeping with the kind of tree it is, so it is for people. The fruit we bear comes from what we're like. And particularly, Jesus says, it comes from what our hearts are like. Literally, it's the good man brings good from the good treasure or the storehouse of his heart, and the evil brings evil from the evil. The idea of having a treasury or things stored up inside us, and from that stuff comes out, that's the idea Jesus is picturing for us here. Just like the fruit comes from what's inside the tree, so to speak, the actions we do come from what's inside us, in our hearts, the very center of our being, from the storehouse of our character. Now, the Christian teacher E.M. Bounds puts it this way: conduct is what we do, character is what we are. Character is the root of the tree, conduct the fruit it bears. Now, one question we might have if we understand this is, why is Jesus saying it? And some people might think, well, he's giving us tools to work out who is a Christian and who isn't. And there is a sense where that sort of idea is true from wider in the Bible. We should be able to tell a Christian by the fruit of their lives. But I'm not sure that that's Jesus' particular emphasis here in terms of looking at people to work out whether they're Christians or not. And that is particularly, the reason I don't think that's his emphasis is because of the context. Just before this, Jesus spoke about what? He spoke about the plank and the speck. The idea of dealing with the plank in your own eye before you focus on the speck in someone else's eye. It was reflected in what Richard was praying for us before so helpfully. So what Jesus seems to have in mind here is not so much looking at others to work out where they are, but taking a good look at ourselves. Primarily here, Jesus is challenging us to look at ourselves. What kind of fruit am I producing? That's an uncomfortable question, isn't it? Because the way Jesus says it here, the kind of fruit you produce, the behavior you have, shows something about your heart, about the character you've got stored up inside your heart. And that undermines what we often say. Well, it's not my fault that I did that. It just happened. It was just the circumstances. I couldn't help it. It wasn't really me. I wasn't myself. If things had been different. But actually, everything we do comes from us. Absolutely, circumstances, our past experiences, and other factors bring out better or worse elements of us. That's absolutely true. But that's exactly the point. They bring out better or worse elements of us. They bring out what's in our hearts, our character. Christian counselor Paul Tripp puts it this way, quite helpfully, I think. There is an undeniable root and fruit connection between our heart and our behavior. People and situations do not determine our behavior. They provide the occasion where our behavior reveals our hearts. So circumstances affect us, but they give an opportunity for what's in our hearts to come out. So if we look honestly at ourselves and the fruit we bear, what does it say about what we've got stored up inside our hearts? What does it show about you if you consider your actions over the last week? What do you see about your heart? It's challenging stuff Jesus brings us here. There may be encouragement there too, but there'll certainly be challenge. There is for me. But Jesus is not done. He gets one step more specific. There's a particular emphasis, a particular point that Jesus makes at the end of verse 45. Look with me. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What we have treasured up in the storeroom of our heart overflows out of our mouths in the words we speak. It's true that the fruit we produce in our actions and behaviors shows something of our character in our hearts, but there is a more particular and clear factor of that with our words. The way we speak gives a clear indication of what's in our hearts, which means, as the late Australian commentator Leon Morris says, there's always a reason for the things we say. Our words reveal what is in our heart. So helpful to remember. But so challenging, isn't it? Some years ago in Germany, two businessmen set up a hotline called Schimpfloss, which translates swear away. And the idea was you could ring this hotline, you know, pay to ring kind of thing, and you could swear and abuse the person at the other end. And one of the businessmen who set it up said, and I'm tempted to do a German accent, but I'll spare you. One of the businessmen said, it happens. It's natural. With us, you can blow off steam with no strings attached. Schimpfloss. Well, it does happen. It is natural. But that's the point. The fact that people feel they need to abuse someone to blow off steam shows something about our hearts. And it's not pretty. A lot like when I listened back to that recording I'd made for my friend. It showed something about my heart. And even if you're not as sweary as the people who call Schimpfloss or as foul-mouthed as I was when I was 16, still I'm sure there are things that come out of your mouth that you wish you could take back. And they show something about you, don't they? What is stored up in your heart? How does it show itself in your actions and especially in your words? Your actions and words not just in public or at church, but at home. At work, with the kids, with the spouse, with the pet, or when just no one is around. What do you see of your heart then? Let's spend a little bit more time thinking about what to do with this. Look at verse 45 with me again. So helpful, this. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If, as Jesus says, what comes out of us in words and actions reflects what's stored up in our hearts, then it really matters what we store up in there, doesn't it? We need to store better treasure in our hearts. So what are you putting into your heart? What are you putting into the storehouse of your character? It goes without saying, so it needs to be said. You've got to put good stuff from God's word into your heart. You've got to put good stuff from God's word into your heart. All kinds of things will be going into your heart, from the TV, from movies, from radio, from YouTube, podcasts, novels, websites, newspapers, wider culture, even from friends and family. And some of the things that go in from those places will be good and some will be not so good. But if all of that's going in there, you've got to put God's word in there too. You can't expect Christian ways of living and speaking to come out if you don't put the message of Christ in regularly. In that sense, to mix metaphors, you are what you eat. You got it. Eat good stuff. So do you put the goodness of God's word from the Bible into your heart regularly? Are you reading it? Are you maybe part of a growth group to help you read it and discuss it and dig into it? If you find it hard to be disciplined to read the Bible on your own, have you tried meeting up with someone to do that in a one-to-one kind of way? I've had the privilege of meeting up with a number of people to read parts of the Bible together, including some from here at the moment, which is great. It's just a wonderful thing to do. And it means at the very least, you know that you're going to read God's word once in the week outside of Sundays, which is a start. And for some people, it's very hard, and they find it very hard to be disciplined to read scriptures. So at least if you've got an appointment with someone to do that, you know you're going to do it. And the discussion and prayer that we've had when I've met up with people helps the good things we read to sink down deep into our hearts. I'd love to chat with you if you would be interested in reading the Bible with someone once a week or even once a fortnight. Even if you're just considering the possibility, it'd be great to chat and see if we can work out a way for that to happen. If you find reading difficult or it's just not your thing, you just find it hard to engage with reading, there are other ways as well. There are great options for audio Bibles to listen to. And again, chat to me about that and I'll point you in the right direction. You've got to put, in some way, you've got to put the good things of God's word in for the good fruit to come out. And it's not, I want to say, it's not enough, I don't think, just to make sure I spend time in prayer each day. Prayer is great and vital, but we need to be hearing directly from God in the sense of his word as well. Our prayer is mostly, I know not entirely, but mostly about speaking to God in the scriptures, and hearing from God's word, as in from the scriptures, is mostly about hearing from him. So prayer is mostly about speaking to him, and hearing from God's word, reading God's word, or listening to it is about hearing from him, mostly. And we've got to be clear about that, because sometimes that gets mixed up, I think. We've got to put the good things in for the good fruit to come out. But also, you do want to watch what else you're storing up in your heart as well. Are there things in the storehouse that need to be cleared out? Are there things rotting in there that are causing words or actions to come out in ways that disturb you, like they did for me? If you're seeing a bad way of speaking come from you regularly or bad patterns of action, you need to address that and try to work out where they're coming from in your heart. And if you'd like help with that, I'm very happy to chat to you. Or again, we can try to find someone who can help you with that. We all have stuff in our hearts that needs cleaning out sometimes. And I've, this week, in preparing this passage, seen evidence of that in myself again. So I know it's true. We need better treasure in our hearts, so the fruit we bear will reflect that. And we need to clean stuff out of our hearts that needs cleaning out. Can I say, though, also, I'm delighted to often see good fruit here. I've seen wonderfully gracious attitudes in the months that I've been here. Loving, servant-hearted actions, week in and week out, which clearly show that Jesus has put good in people's hearts. I've heard encouraging and wholesome words that ring clearly of Jesus' goodness coming from the mouths of many people here. And I know as well that it's often the case that those who don't see much good in themselves are actually often the ones who say some of the most striking words of grace or of determination to serve Jesus or of encouragement to others. And all of that shows Jesus is at work in your heart, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So be encouraged. And that leads me to the last reflection for today, on the true tree. See, how do we grow more and more in this good fruit Jesus speaks of, these good words and actions? Well, we fill our hearts with the good and we clear out the bad. The key way to do that is to focus on and drink deeply from the true tree, the true man, Jesus Christ, the one whose actions and words showed his extraordinary heart. Like his actions of compassion and care in the very next chapter of Luke, when he sees the funeral procession of the only son of a widow. This woman has lost everything. And his heart goes out to her. And he says, "Don't cry." And he raises that boy up and gives him back to his mum. Such compassion. That's his heart. Or his action of ultimate compassion and care, where he went to the cross and died for us, accused falsely and mocked, but he didn't defend himself because he knew we needed his death to bring us life, even though we were his enemies. What a heart he shows us through that action for us. He is the true tree with the true heart. And his words, some of his most common words were, "Do not be afraid." And he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Only a couple of chapters further on in Luke from where we're up to now, he says to a little girl who's just died, "My child, get up." Raising her from death with his words and giving her back to her parents. Powerful words, compassionate words. And then later as he dies, he says to the thief who's dying next to him, this condemned criminal who's dying for his crime, he says to this criminal, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Words of such compassion and such promise. That's Jesus' heart. And there is hope, because just like for that thief on the cross, he is our hope. Now, in the light of Jesus' words and actions, if we're honest, we'll never see ourselves as good trees. We'll never see ourselves really as a good man or a good woman. If we're honest, we won't. And ultimately, we're not, because of the rotten stuff that comes out of even the best of our hearts. And that shows what's in there. So if we see ourselves in the light of Jesus, it'll show us the reality. Just like when I heard myself on that recording, it shows the reality. But Jesus is our one hope, because he didn't come to save good people. As he said back in Luke chapter 5, "I've come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So don't despair. Turn to him. He came for you. Are you sometimes ashamed of the things that come out in your action of your mouth? He came to save sinners. Call sinners to repentance. He came for you. He came for me. So look to him. Fix your eyes on him. Read his word and meditate on him. And then the treasures in your heart will begin to grow and purify. And you begin to produce good fruit as a result. So, in the words of our next song, we're going to pray for God to help that to happen. For him to be at work in our hearts. We're going to sing, "Create in me a clean heart." Let's stand.